Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit seriously.
Hey, yo, mic check, 1, 2, back in effect, episode 140. Episode 140, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, ever host.
And yeah, we about to get busy. How you been, Josh?
I'm cooling, man. You know, celebrating this Father's Day.
Yeah, happy Father's Day, yo.
Thank you, man. Shout out to all the fathers out there.
Yeah, all the pops. Shout out to all of y'all who are on the timeline eviscerating your fathers.
Yes.
As is customary on social media at this point. Yeah, shout out to I love Father's Day and Mother's Day on social media in particular, because I like seeing everybody's family. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I joke, but I like seeing pictures of y'all with your pops or with your moms and shit like that. Like, it warms my heart.
Yeah. I thought about taking a picture of, like, me standing there with just, like, my arm in the air. Like, I'd be around somebody. Like, you know what I mean? It'd be like, yo, me and my pop. Like, but I decided not to do that.
Yeah, my mom has pictures. As folks know, like, my father passed away when I was really young, but my mom has pictures of me and my dad, but I'm like, we're little kids.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
So yeah, what's besides Father's Day and this continued, I don't know, are we still in lockdown here in Philly? Like, what's the deal? We're in the green.
We're yellow phase.
Oh, man. Yeah, okay, so yeah, they announced that green is coming.
Yeah, green comes July 3rd, I think.
Dog, this shit feel like 9/11 and like the terror. Like, you remember that shit?
When, yeah. Like, when they're Bush, like, yo, we're in yellow state. We're in yellow, code yellow right now. Whatever the fuck that shit. Every day it'll be like, yo, we're orange today.
Dog, that shit was such like an obvious manipulation. Like, uh-huh. Bush would do some fuck shit, or like his approval ratings would dip, and he'd be like, yo, you know we in code red, right? Like, y'all know we in orange. Like, that shit was like, people need to be, if it hasn't already been happening, people need to be writing books on the psychological manipulation that happened.
Oh, yeah.
You know, during the war on terror, war of terror.
No, it was
back
like
in the 2000s.
It was like 2 years after I had read 1984, and it's like, it was so out of the 1984 playbook,
right?
Of like, oh, yo, we're at a 10% chance of a terrorist attack today. Blah blah blah. It's mm-hmm. like, it's all it's all manipulation. Like,
right.
So. Yeah, right now we're like, oh, yo, we're in yellow phase. And then, like, when we go to green, it's still not 100% green.
Right.
It's like
a light green.
Yeah, yeah. We're like an aqua green right now.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't go full, you know what I mean, Kermit green until, like, just relax, man. Like, I'm still, like, they talk about gyms getting ready to open back up in July. I'm like, I'm not going to a fucking gym.
Dog. I enjoyed going to kickboxing around the corner from our crib. I am not doing that shit in the summer or the fall. I'm waiting this shit out, dog, because, like, I don't know what it's about. I don't know, you know, how it'll affect me or whatever, but I'm leaving that shit alone.
Dog, I'm not getting on no damn sweaty-ass, like, equipment. Like, I get on a stationary bike after somebody just got off and they assed in sweat. I'm not right. Doing none of that, B. Like,
right. This shit lives on surfaces. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to, you know, I'm trying to get better in shape and all that kind of stuff and lose some weight, blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, I'm good. I'm not doing that right now, man. Like, it's just not the wave to be like, yo, let's get back to the gym. I'm good, man. Like, that shit, like, going to parties, like, it's gonna suck. Like, you know what I mean? It's summertime, like, all the parties that can be happening. But yeah. I'm not trying to be in a room with 50, 60 people, dog. It's just not the wave right now.
Dog, you remember when we used to do Sophista Funk in West Philly and it would be like people packed in a small room.
It would
room.
Be so hot that the fucking windows would fog up.
Yep, walls be sweating and shit. Yeah. Nah, yo. Uh-uh. That shit's like a hot box for illness.
Yeah. Dog, you know, Trump had his rally yesterday and shit. Shout out to K-pop stans and all the youngsters on TikTok who went out there and fucking reserved all the tickets. So there was like 2,000 people at a rally. They were reporting we got 1,000,000 requests for.
Yeah, so that is interesting to me that, I mean, obviously, like, young people are way more savvy.
Yeah.
than Trump and his administration. But yeah, they reserved a bunch of tickets and that motherfucker looked empty as hell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Somebody, I can't think of who said this shit on Twitter. Somebody was like, yo, the room was half empty and it was mostly white people there. The shit looked like an underground rap concert. Goddamn. I can't think of who said that shit, but I was like, yeah, it's fucking genius. Nobody in their right mind shows up to see that guy.
Dog, you couldn't pay me to be in a room with those people. Like, I couldn't be a reporter. Like, you know, they send reporters out there. I'm like, I'm not. Dog, first of all, the energy is so angry.
Yeah,
and
toxic.
Like I want to be around that energy. Then on top of that, like, yo, y'all in there with no mask. Like, dog, they were showing pictures of motherfuckers in there, no mask, standing on top of each other. And fuck that, B. Yeah. Like, then they said, like, yo, you got to sign a waiver just to get in this joint so you can't sue us if you get coronavirus.
Whoa, wow, because they know.
Yeah.
It's just incubating in there because their followers, his fan base aren't going to wear masks.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like, that's the same thing. Like, Fox News is telling folks, yo, there's no coronavirus ain't as bad as you think, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, they still social distancing in the studio or working from home.
Right.
So,
that's
like,
that's so fucked up.
You know, y'all believe in propaganda. Meanwhile, they still operating that way.
It's crazy. I think it was Slate published an article this week. Obviously, I think it's still too early to tell, but they said that the cities that had major protests, like mass protests, for the George Floyd situation, Philadelphia, Minneapolis, these cities that had like major protests aren't reporting COVID spikes.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because everybody that I've seen, I haven't gone to any actions since this whole thing happened. I am very skittish about my immune system.
Yeah, obviously with everything that happened.
Yeah, since the whole thing 2 years ago. So I haven't been to any protests. Every protest that I've seen, folks have been masked up.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? It's the cities and the areas with the protests, with the you know, folks who've been protesting to, you know, open up the economy, you know what I mean? I want to go get a tan or I want to go get a burger or whatever. Those cities have been reporting COVID spikes. You know what I mean?
It makes sense considering like the people who are going to the protests and stuff like that generally believe in science as opposed to, you know what I mean, the people who will tell you like, you know, evolution ain't real or you know what I mean? Like, you know, we don't believe in climate change. Like, so
the motherfuckers who will protest for police brutality, they might believe in like astrology and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? But the motherfuckers also believe in science.
Yeah. They also believe in climate change. Yeah.
Right. And believe that this shit is real. So, yeah, I've definitely I thought that was interesting that like Philly, Minneapolis, like they've been reporting like that the shit's kind of flattened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know the exact scientific term for it, but there hasn't been a spike since these protests have started.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, that's love. I mean, that's awesome. Yeah. Because it goes against, like, the idea. Like, that was a blowback from a lot of people. Were like, well, I guess we don't believe. Like, Fox News, I saw say that shit. Like, well, I guess they don't believe in fucking social distancing doesn't matter anymore because look at the protests, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And, excuse me, I thought about something because, you know, Trump, like, is trying to sue Twitter now or whatever. Because, like, they fact-checked him and shit. Right. And then Facebook, like, took down some of his ads because they said there was, like, some racial shit in there.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching this Vox video about the time white supremacists, like, overthrew the North Carolina government or some shit like that.
Right. I've heard about that, but I don't know the full story.
Yeah. So, like, I'm not going to go into the whole thing or whatever, but, like, essentially what happened was, like, the Democratic white supremacy in that area lost power of the government.
Mm-hmm.
Black folks and like poor white folks joined forces in, like, I think they called it the Fusion Party. Mm-hmm. It was like the Republican Party and like this other like side party had joined together and became the Fusion Party and ended up like taking over like the state house and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, shit.
So, and it was in, like, main city of, like, Wilmington or whatever. So, and, like, Wilmington at that time had, like, a majority black population. Mm-hmm. And, like, it was successful. Like, they were running businesses. Like, it was a successful business area and all that kind of shit. So, the white folks came together. Like, the racist white folks came together and were like, yo, we can't have this happen. We need to get power back, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, through, like, bullshit, trickery, and, like, you know, that kind of shit. And then, like, convincing the white folks, the poor white folks, to, like, go against their own interests of, like, getting, like, powerful people out of power so then, like, they could have some kind of say in what was going on. Like, they, you know, they started running basically ads where it was like, yo, you know, we'll guarantee 80% of the jobs go to white folks and all that kind of shit. And then, like, you know, then they started the, you know, the black man's after the white woman and he can't be blah, blah, like that kind of shit, you know, all the racist tropes. And so, like, then I forget exactly how it fell out, but, you know, obviously it was like a race riot that it was, you know, white folks like started tearing through Wilmington. It was burning down buildings. They threatened this one dude who ran like the one black paper in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And they threatened, like, yo, if he's here in 24 hours, he's got 24 hours basically to live. If he's here in 24 hours, we'll kill him. We'll lynch him or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, he took off, and, like, the main thing they did was, like, burn down his building that had the newspaper and, like, the printing press, essentially.
Mm, wow.
And so what I, like, when they said that, and they were like, you know, it was the one way people got to organize. It was, you know, it was the one way people could, like, rally to organize is through, and they could communicate through this newspaper.
Right.
It made me think about what was going on with, like, Trump wanting to get rid of, you know, Trump, like, going against Twitter. He wants to get rid of Twitter and wants to shut down social media because, like, how much of, like, rallying is going through social media right now. It's how we communicate with, like, yo, here's the places we're gonna go do this. And like, so one thing made me think about it was like, fuck, like, that's straight, you know, fascist, out the fascist playbook, like, you know, and be like, yo, we gotta shut down, you know, unless it's state TV, nothing can, you know, no news. And that's part of what he does with, like, calling the news the enemy of the people, and, like, those are all out of, like, fascist playbook.
Yeah.
So that's all out the fascist playbook. But then, like, when they were talking about that's how people rallied and shit like that, made me think about social media and, like, what he's doing now with his attacks on social media.
Right.
And I just started thinking about, like, damn, man, like, that shit is, like, cold right out the playbook. But it also made me think about, like, how resilient the resistance can be, because motherfuckers will just find another way.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then when I heard about this shit today about the K-pop stands and the kids on TikTok, just like, oh, yeah, we're going to go, you know what I mean? We're going to go register these tickets. I saw this shit on here. I'm going to go register a ticket so it fucks up Trump's rally. Mm-hmm. I was like, yo, you know what? Like, the kids going to figure this shit out in the long run. Like, you know what I mean? We don't need to be there holding their hands through the whole thing. Like, they going to learn a way to get around to this shit.
And they'll figure out, you know, we say modern solutions for modern problems.
Yep, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So they'll work it out. And you know, I hate that Donald Trump is in any position of power in the world. He's injured so many people even before he walked into the White House. This is a person who was a rapist, a public racist, an exploiter of people, an exploiter of workers, somebody who had been cheating people out of their lives and happiness long before he walked into the White House. And now this country saw fit, at least half of the population saw fit to elect this person, you know. So he's been on some bullshit for a long time. And the fact that he's in the highest seat in the land, it's even worse. But it's also, I think, exposing the veneer of what this country really is. And it's kind of like pulling back the veil of how barbaric and greedy and ugly this country really is and where this country's priorities lie. I feel like sometimes we talk about people like Donald Trump like they're like he's some kind of like, oh, shit went left. You know what I mean? But this shit is built on racism and misogyny and like the exploitation of workers. Absolutely, there would be a racist and a misogynist as president. You know what I mean? Because that's what the country is founded on. And I think that a lot more people through social media and other means, a lot more people are understanding that shit now and really peeping it.
Yeah, definitely. I remember talking to my mom about this when she was just like, yeah, you know, he's going to get impeached. He's going to get impeached. And I was like, I mean, great that if he gets impeached, awesome. Like, obviously that ain't happened. But like, I was like, but he's not the problem. Like, he's a product of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, first of all, I don't think Pence is any better. So it's not like you get rid of him and Pence becomes president. You're like, cool. Like, Pence believes in fucking conversion therapy.
Jesus.
So
that's so crazy.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just like, you know, getting rid of him isn't like, oh, we're good. Like, we got rid of him. Everything's cool now. It's like, no, like, fucking Steve King is an open white supremacist and serves in Senate. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, there's a real root of the issue problem. And if we don't start addressing that kind of shit, there isn't a, you know, a fucking, you know, like, oh, we just get like, there's, and part of that too, I think, comes down to like the idea of a bad guy. We're so like entrenched in that idea, like, oh, we have to have a bad guy, we have to have a bad guy.
Yeah,
we don't look like, listen, man, in Star Wars, like, part of the thing what I don't think a lot of people like understand is like, you know, the Empire is ruling the galaxy and then they killed the Emperor in, you know, Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. And it's like, guess what? Like, there's still tons of Empire out there you have to defeat. Like, they're not just gonna roll over now because the Emperor is gone.
Right. We got a bad system.
Exactly. There's a bad system in place. So like, we have to now work on getting the system. I mean, like you said, I definitely see that, especially with like more of the people that I follow now. You see like, oh, they're talking about like the systemic issues.
Right.
Not just like, oh, well, if we get rid of, and I think that, you know, you're starting to see even that more turn now with like, you know, 5 years ago when like Ferguson happened and shit like that, defund the police was not the rallying cry.
Was not on the table. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now people, like, you see more and more people getting radicalized in the ideas of like, yo, there's a real systematic problem.
Right. And it ain't 1, 2 or 30 or 1,000 cops.
Exactly. It's like, yo, we have to make real systemic changes. And like, you know, me and you've talked about before with like the ideas that like fucking universal healthcare 4 years ago was like this crazy idea that Bernie had and shit like that. You know what I mean? Now it's like, oh no, like, this healthcare was the number one issue for most people who were going in and during voting during the primaries.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like this isn't, and like now everybody during the debates had to answer questions about universal healthcare.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like these kind of things, like we're starting to move toward like, yo, we need to address these systemic issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's pop out, take a break, and come right back.
Yep.
Boom, back in effect. So you brought this up. I did want to chat about it, and it's related to what we were just talking about, you know, systemic change. The city of Philadelphia cut $33 million from the police department's budget.
Yes.
For the, I guess, the next year that...
Was it 2021? I guess, 2021's city budget.
Yeah. Not something that I thought would have happened.
No.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know exactly how much, Philly PD gets in a year. You know what I mean? I'm sure this is definitely not a crippling cut. But I do appreciate that, you know, like we were talking about earlier, that this is on the table now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Like you just said, it's not a crippling cut. Which is insane in itself, because you cut $33 million from like the public education thing. Again, that goes to like, you know, how fucking schools end up with nurses that are there one day a week.
Which is fucking crazy to me.
So like those kind of things are like, or like, dude, if you had fluxed $33 million alone into like the art scene in the city, like.
Right.
But yeah, it's not like a huge thing, but what, like, the biggest thing I think that comes from it is it shows that like us applying pressure to these people, like, we're being heard. And
this is 2 weeks of pressure.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Imagine what a year's worth of pressure would do.
Yo.
Or 5 years worth of pressure will do, like, those kind of things. That's why it's like it's important to not let up.
Right. I want and I've said this before, I've said this on this show, I've said this on other people's shows that I've been on in the past like few weeks. I want people to really, all of us, me included, really internalize how many concessions are being made from 2 or 3 weeks of pressure.
Uh-huh. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? What does a sustained, protracted effort look like? And what does that flip? You know what I'm saying? I know the elections are going to be coming up, and I know that the two, you know, mainstream parties are going to be doing, they're going to be putting a lot of effort into funneling this energy into electoral politics. I hope that young people are cracking them books, and we're going to talk about this with the J. Cole and No Name thing a little bit later too. I hope that young people are cracking these books and seeing, you know, like the Black Power Convention in Gary, Indiana, you know what I mean? These different movements where there was a lot of revolutionary energy that got co-opted, long story short. So I hope that, we're understanding that it was on the ground action, mutual aid, and pressure applied to elected officials, not just voting, you know what I'm saying? That really, because they know, you know, they've been doing these bullshit primaries, but this shit came from pressure. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
this
talk about defunding police and restructuring police departments and disbanding police departments, all of this talk and these concessions came from pressure, not from, oh, let's just vote and then go home. You know what I mean? So I'm hoping that we all learn from this moment, learn from past moments, and really understand what gets us results.
Yeah. I think it's really important to just to think about like what this looks like over an expanded amount of time, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you do this, you know, like you said, this is 2 weeks worth of pressure, right? You continue to press. This is what like they talk about with Like, I mean, honestly, you see this, what's happened with, like, just the pressure people have put on the Democratic Party in the sense of being like, yo, these ideas that, like, Bernie was talking about 4 years ago, like, these are things that we're serious about, right?
Yeah, we ain't forget about this shit.
Yeah, so what you want to do is then, like, yo, like, Bernie wasn't for defunding the police. Well, you know what? Like, this is what we demand out of our next candidate, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we love Bernie for these ideas, but we need this person to have this thing too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
There's always a motherfucker more progressive and more well-suited.
Yes, exactly. So, like, you know, what we need to do is continue to put the pressure on people. Like, because it's not just, like you said, it's not just voting, right? It's like, yo, we need to put the pressure on people to even, like, have this idea to come out and support these things, right?
Yeah.
Like, we can't just continue to go like, oh yeah, like, we'll just take what you give us type shit. Like, no, we demand that these issues, right, are being addressed. And, like, if Kenny thinks that, like, we'll be quiet now because they dropped, you know, $33 million out the budget, like, guess what? Like, next time we want $50-60 million out the budget. Right. We want, like, next year when it's time for budget calls, we have to put pressure on again to be like, yo, we want the police to fund it. Right. Like, you know what I mean?
The police don't stop near crime in society. Like, how often have you seen? I've only seen when I've seen women being beat in the street, when I've seen different things happen. You know who's intervened in that shit? Regular motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Anytime I've seen a woman getting beat, either I jumped in the shit or some other man or woman jumped in it and stopped it. You know what I mean? Is never been a cop come in and intervene on some shit. We need as minimal as crime. Violent crime has been going down since me and you been on this planet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Violent crime has been going down. We need minimal police departments on the way to abolishing them.
Yeah.
And then, like, with abolishing them, we need, you know, broader social safety net. We need a different society, a society that don't need no cops.
Yeah. And, like, that comes down to too, like, yo, not only do we need to change policing, but we need to change, like, the social work aspect, and, like, there's systemic racism in social work,
right?
There's issues that we need to change across the board, and but building our social safety nets are the biggest issue. Like, I just saw a video today of somebody in California. The person was having a mental breakdown, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so the cop, they called 911. The cops put a ladder up, climbed up to his balcony, came in and started shooting.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And it's like, yo, he's having a mental breakdown. We need people who are trained to deal with those kind of things.
Right.
Not fucking cops who are trained to kill people.
Yeah. They're trained to kill. So what else do they do?
Yeah.
When they show up, they don't mediate shit.
Like,
I've seen, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, you can.
I remember years ago, we were having a party at the Sankofa house. This was not like a tense situation at all. It was just loud. And probably the neighbors called. So this cop, I think this was when me and you did the Stakes is High. It was an all ladies joint.
Yeah, the one joint I didn't come to. I had to work that time. Yeah.
So, motherfuckers, you know, in there rocking, it's like midnight, and the cops came and they were like, yo, whose party is this? So niggas went and got me. So I'm standing there as a black cop. I'm standing there, and he's like, yo, can you tell them to turn it down? I was like, yo, I got you. So I went to the DJ, told whoever was on the decks at the time, yo, turn the volume down, the law outside. They turned it down. They got another call. This cop comes back. Maybe 30 minutes later or whatever. And he's like, yo, I thought I asked y'all to turn it down. I was like, yo, we did. You know what I mean? He's like, well, people still complaining. I was like, all right, you know, I'll talk to the DJ. We'll turn it down some more. And he was like, yeah, because you don't want me to come with more backup. And I was like, my man, you're escalating right now.
Exactly.
I said to you, you know, we was cool. I said to you, I'm going to tell them to turn it down more, or I'm going to turn it down more. There's no need for you to. I said, you're escalating right now. There's no need for that. You know what I mean? But that's their mentality.
Yeah.
The the people are their enemies.
Yes,
they're trained exactly. that way. You yeah. know what I mean? So, and that's been the case every time I've interacted with a cop. You know what I mean? They escalate the shit.
Like, they get trained to essentially be like, well, every situation is a life or death situation.
Mm-hmm.
You're responding to a noise complaint.
Right.
Like,
you know, we wasn't searching niggas, but, you know, motherfuckers wasn't coming in with guns and they head wraps, you know what I mean, in the fucking Sankofa house. Like, come on.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, it's a noise complaint, dog. Like, you show up, like, yo, turn the noise. Your neighbors is complaining. Like, yeah. you know, can you turn the noise down? And then you roll off. Like, first of all, why the police get called in that situation is beyond weird to me. Like, right. you know what I mean? But
because our society thinks that any conflict is to be mediated with force.
Yes, absolutely.
That's why.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
And I think, like, we just need people to show, like, listen, man, cops are not trained for 8 years to deal with people who are having mental breakdowns. We're, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're not having, you know, they're not trained in, you know, understanding every law of every situation. They're not, because they don't go to school for 8 years for that kind of shit. Like,
right.
Maybe we need to look into whatever we do going forward, like, you know, whatever kind of law, it, you know, enforcement shit that happens in the future, it's got to be a situation where, like, yo, these people need to be the highest trained human beings in the world. Because, like, one of the things that, like, one of the memes that, like, I've seen going around, and it's the complete truth, is, like, yo, cops aren't supposed to kill guilty people either.
Yes.
Like, you're not judge, jury, and executioner. Like, you know what I mean?
So many people make that argument, too, and it just shows how violent, how brutal this society is. Like, somebody gets shot, and then people will jump out and argue, well, he stole the candy bar. What the fuck is a candy bar?
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference.
Life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Bill Cosby did that shit years ago. Bill Cosby did the whole speech in front of the NAACP.
Yeah.
Told black people, your child deserves to get shot in the back for stealing a pound cake. That's like psycho shit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's no reason. Like, the situation in Atlanta, the Rashad Brooks situation, where it's like, yo, why don't you just have people who deal with, like, addiction or whatever show up and go, hey, listen, you know what I mean? You were drinking. Like, do you have, like, you know, talk to them? Because they're trained counselors. Have them talk to them and see if they assessed it. Like, oh, this person has a drinking problem.
Right.
Or he just had one too many drinks tonight. Like, you know what I mean? And
he drunk in his car.
Yeah.
You know, police, if you want to be helpful, put him in the back seat and drive him the fuck home.
Or call him an Uber. Like,
right.
Why your cops can't have a fucking account there that they have to send people home? Like, dog, I remember this shit when Livestop, that's what it was called, right? When they were just snatching people's cars on the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Livestop, John Street.
Yeah, so they was just, for people who don't know, I don't know how many cities this shit happened in, but years ago, we had a mayor, John Street, who just, like, instituted a thing called Livestop, where they were just, like, snatching people's wheels off the street. Again, it was a revenue thing, because then they could go sell them in auctions.
Yeah.
So they would just snatch you, take the car from you, and leave you on the side of the road, no matter where you were. The right. cops could do this, right?
Right.
I mean, I saw people getting snatched, like, their families was on the husband and wife and kids is sitting on the side of a road, kid in a fucking, you know, baby carrier, and, like, they're just stuck now on the side of the road.
Right. You're on the fucking, you live in South Philly, you're on the fucking boulevard.
Yeah.
In the Northeast.
And this is before Uber and all that shit, so there was
no ride share.
Yeah. So, you know, it was a situation, like, you know, you don't, in that situation, it's like, yo, you don't have something set up to get these people home safe. Like, isn't that more of a public hazard than me driving around and my license is suspended or some shit like that?
Right.
Like, you just left people on the side of the road.
Yeah.
So why isn't there a situation where you had this kind of thing set up where it's like, oh, listen, we'll call, we'll have an Uber come get you, take you home, get sure you get home safe. You know, we'll tow your car to your house or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, isn't that like more of a public service? Isn't that what they're supposed to be for in the first place? Is a public fucking service?
Right. That's like the PR version.
Yeah, I know. I know that's not how this works. I'm just saying, I'm like kind of like brainstorming out loud. Like, why don't we have that kind of setup? Right. where, you know, somebody shows up and goes, all right, cool, this person's had too much to drink. They're like, dog, I'm not going to lie, man. I've had too much to drink one night, fell asleep at a light on the boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's happened. And I just got lucky that no cop drove past me at that point. You know what I mean? But, like, you know, it's happened a million times to people where they fall asleep. Or, dog, I had cops harass me when I was working at my old job, where I would, like, pull over in, like, an empty parking lot and go take a nap. And I remember distinctly a cop coming up and banging on my window, like, yo, what are you doing here? What's going on? I'm like, I'm taking a nap. Like, you know what I mean? You see what I was doing.
Yeah. Like, and storm me out. Let me live.
Yeah, he was like, yo, you can't stay here. Blah, 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 blah. We, you know, why are you sitting here? Why are you in this parking lot? And it's like, because it's an empty park. It's lit and it's an empty parking lot. So I'm not worried that, like, I'm hiding in the dark somewhere and somebody can assault me while I'm in the dark in a truck. Like,
right.
I'm like, yeah. He was like, yeah, you have to move. You can't stay here. And yeah. I'm like, what fucking difference does it make? Why does it matter that I'm sleeping here?
I think that once... And I think this is partially what's happening in this conversation now. This is what's happening in this conversation now that we're having about police. We have to really come to terms with the nature of what police are. You know what I mean? Like, they're here to protect property. They're here to maintain the class status quo. And they're here to economic class. And they're here to maintain the racial status quo. Once we, like, really all set all of that shit out on the chessboard and be like, okay, these are, like, now before you play a game, like, you establish, like, the rules of engagement.
Yeah.
Once we get past all of this, you know, public good shit and, like, rescuing a fucking kitten from a tree bullshit that, you know, we've kind of accepted, like, that the police's role is. And once we really understand that it's economic class, protecting property, protecting racial status quos, then we can change this shit. You know what I mean? Because then we can really start to look at, like, okay, well, what are the calls that police should be showing up for?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I really feel like all of this stuff, you know, can work towards, with, you know, the other things with, like, the social safety net and all of that, we'll be working towards a society where there are no armed class of people roaming around our neighborhoods shooting at kids and shit.
Yeah.
And who don't even half the time don't even see trial. You know, yeah, what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, that shit is insane. Whereas, like, if me and you were stuck on an island, you know, do we just give you the gun and you're the guy who decides, yeah. You know what I mean?
I decide law and order.
Yeah, you decide, like, what's right, what's wrong. You know, when does the gun come out? When does it not? Like, that shit's not a sustainable situation. You look at some of the most peaceful countries in the world. They don't have, you know, local police departments with fucking tanks and shit.
Yeah, I mean, like, you'll see this meme has floated around for a while on social media, where it's like, it shows, like, a police car in, like, Iceland, and it's got, like, all these bright colors all over it and all that kind of shit, so it's seen, like, the mm-hmm. purpose of it is to be seen. Yeah. And then, like, they showed, like, the Dodge Charger that's all blacked out with blacked out lights for you know, a cop in the United States. And yeah. It's like, yeah, they stealth. Purposely yeah it's purposely set up so it's like, yo, we're gonna sneak up on you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, man, like, y'all public servants. That's not what y'all supposed to be doing.
Yeah, fuck that shit. We're at about, if I may edit this out, we're at about 40. You want to jump out for a final break, then come back.
Do the no name.
Talk to no name and then just slide right into new music?
Yep.
Okay, word. All right, boom, back in effect. So I don't even know if I could call this, like, rat beef.
Yeah.
It feels like, you know, like a polite disagreement between two talented people. But J. Cole released a song, is it Snow on the Bluff?
Snow on the Bluff, yeah.
Snow on the Bluff, where basically he's kind of like addressing a woman who's, you know, clearly woke, knows a lot of stuff, and he's going into, I'm going to look at some of the lyrics. He's like, let me see. Basically, he's saying that he feels judged,
yeah,
you know, by... And this is aimed at one person, but it speaks to a broader way that we engage each other on the internet. And basically, he feels judged by woke people. He admitted that he doesn't, you know, do a lot of reading. He don't be studying and cracking them books. You know what I mean? Which I don't know. You know, whatever. But yeah, and he dropped this song, and folks deduced that he was coming at the rapper No Name, which is interesting to me that J. Cole clearly perceives this young woman. I don't know if they know each other, but he clearly perceives her a certain way. But, you know, she's somebody who's said shit, you know, publicly and been dragged. You know what I mean? Like a year ago, she said that, you know, I don't have no problem with capitalism.
Yeah.
And her fans got her together and were like, you know, these are the reasons why capitalism is, you know, exploitive, the reasons why it's racist, da 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 da. And she since embraced socialism and like anti-capitalism.
Yeah, well, her original name was No Name Gypsy, and she changed it when she found out that word is not cool.
Right. So she's somebody who's, you know, clearly willing to learn and has like a love of learning and figuring this shit out. The Cole thing, and there's been like a whole backlash to Cole since this song came out, but I think part of the one, it was timing, you know what I mean? A few black women had been killed like right before Cole put this song out, and people felt like he was attacking a prominent black woman. But I think also, you know, you can't be a smart motherfucker if you don't study.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? God give people certain gifts and shit, the gift of how to figure shit out, and your mind works a certain way, you know. But you can't be, you know, you want to be a learned person, you got to learn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like No Name, like we've kind of seen her publicly take on the responsibility of being wrong and adjusting.
Yeah, exactly.
And it doesn't seem like I don't know that I get that same willingness from this J. Cole song.
Yeah, I mean, listen, first off, it's like I don't think she was like publicly airing him out specifically in like the tweets that he's addressing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think part of it, it's like, yo, he saw that and then like took offense to it. It's like, well, then if you take offense to it, then maybe it is about you. And like, yeah. There's obviously some insecurities in himself of like, because this dude has been on the front lines of like protesting and shit like that. So right.
you clearly care.
Yeah. So why you thought that like these things were specifically being addressed to you? It makes me go like, damn, I wonder if you feel some insecurities. Right.
Right.
So, you know, instead of just saying like, yo, you know, I feel like I'm being addressed in certain situations, and you know what? I need to reevaluate how I look at things and blah, blah, blah. Like, he's like, yeah, man, why somebody got to say something about me? And like, it's more like the whole situation to me is a situation of insecurity.
Right.
You know what I mean? He feels insecure, and an insecure, he responded in an insecure way.
I'll say this. I agree 1,000%. I think it is rooted in insecurity. There's a lot of energy, especially on the internet, especially on Twitter. There's a lot of energy right now where I feel like people who aren't men, you know what I mean? And that's for like women, girls, non-binary people, are really looking at the ways in which men have historically abused non-men and taken advantage of non-men, and they're like, no, fuck that, like, we not with that shit no more. And I think that it personally hurts men's feelings, and I think that much like racism, when we talk about racism as non-white people, I think it personally hurts white people's feelings, which as opposed to like leaning into that pain and whatever lesson comes out of that pain, I think that men are being like resistant. Yeah. You know what I mean? And not wanting to like listen and change and adapt. Like niggas like looking at the difference between No Name and J. Cole and, you know, by extension, women and men. Niggas was digging in No Name's ass over that capitalism shit. I was on Twitter when she tweeted that. And I remember like the fire that she caught. She leaned in and reassessed. Mm-hmm. I feel like men are personally offended by like the men are trash, men are this, men are that. And I feel like men are using that personal offense, much like white people do when we talk about white people and about racism, white supremacy, using their own personal offense or allowing their own personal offense to become a roadblock towards, you know, being better, being potentially more open to the shit. So it feels like a lot of that is happening too, because of course the debate around this shit has broken down across gender lines. Like men, I've saw a lot of men who were with No Name too, but I saw probably more men who were, you know, with Cole on this. And I don't think that it's a beef. I don't think that you know, like it needs to be a bigger thing than it is. But I do think that it's part of a conversation that we're having where people who aren't men are renegotiating this power dynamic that men have created in the world.
Yeah, I think what a lot comes out of it for me too is a situation. I saw this and I saw a woman say this, and it's the truth, is that, you know, this comes down a lot to, you know, a guy who says, you know, he doesn't say call women bitches and like, you know, doesn't, you know, disrespect women, so like he doesn't think he's a misogynist, right?
Yeah.
And I think for people who understand in the long run, like, listen, I try not to be that, you know, I try not to call women out their names. I try to, you know, be respectful in all situations. But I do understand that, like, listen, I was raised in a misogynist society. So I still carry those ideas in the back of my head in a lot of fucking ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I try to check myself, even in like just regular conversations with women that I talk to, or like just trying to like go, oh, I don't. And this goes across the board too, in situations where like I'm talking to a friend and they're going through something, and to like get out of that thing, like, yeah, I understand. Because you know what? There's times I don't fucking understand. But like,
right.
It's a go to say, oh, I understand. Like if a woman's talking about like a specifically something that is affecting her, like, don't say you understand. Say like, damn, or be supportive.
Yeah.
But like, but again, it's like, you know, it's about learning and understanding. And I think sometimes it comes down to, are people open to those ideas and open to that critique that you know what? Like, you're not perfect. And I think a lot of times we're raised in such a misogynistic society that we automatically assume that we know. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And
we got it worked out. We understand. It's like, no, you know what? We don't. And sometimes you need to fucking just shut up and listen.
Yeah. That's just difficult. You know what I mean? All of us are intelligent people, you know, try to be, you know, on the right side of things and treat people right. And it's, you know, it's difficult when you hear that, all right, that shit's not good enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there needs to be more and like a deeper commitment. Like, that shit's not, you know, personally comfortable. There's a whole conversation to be had about how all of us living in the Western world have privilege over people in the quote unquote global South. You know what I mean? So it's, which is, that shit ain't going to be comfortable neither. You know what I'm saying? Once it really, the way this, you know, conversation about manhood and men is happening, and this conversation around white folks is happening, that conversation about, you know, the first world, third world and shit and all of that, that ain't going to be comfortable neither. You know what I mean? We're captives in this shit, but we still benefit from it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, man, at the end of the day, fucking change is hard, long, and uncomfortable. Like, you know what I mean? And once you understand that, then you'll understand that your personal growth will be hard, long, and fucking uncomfortable. You know what I mean? And listen, man, you know, I want to be the best human being I can be, right? So what I'm going to try and do is be open and listen. And listen, man, you know, I feel like any conversation I've had with somebody who is a marginalized person, right, I have generally, they've been open to the idea of somebody being like, yo, I wasn't perfect then. I'm trying to grow and become a better person.
Right.
No one expects you to be the, you know, perfect from jump, man. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I think people generally understand the situation that we grow up in this society and go like, you know, oh shit, like you had these shitty ideas, like, but that's, you know, that's not your specific fault. It's your specific fault if you decide you've been exposed to better ideas and just don't want to adapt to them.
Yeah. You don't want to switch it up.
Yeah, like it's like you've made the decision, like, yo, you get told, like, you know, I mentioned catcalling earlier, so I'll use that again as an example. If, like, you get told, like, yo, catcalling ain't cool.
Yeah, don't do that shit, yeah.
Yeah, it's fucked up. And then you just go do it anyway, then you're fucked up there.
Right.
Right? But, like, if you didn't, like, yeah, I didn't understand that that wasn't a cool, like, I just, that was literally how we grew up, is when we were kids, that's how we grew up. Like, you slow down, like, you're out from the car.
Yeah.
That was what you did, right? That's how I grew up, how I was exposed to, that's how you tried to attract a woman.
Right.
When I was put on as, now I was never big on that stuff anyway, just because I was kind of shy, so that was never really my thing, but I've done it, shit like that, so I'm not going to say I'm the perfect, you know what I mean? I've done it, so, but when I found out that shit wasn't cool, yeah, like, I just didn't do it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, there's certain things you can do. You know, you just, you got to grow. You got to be open and willing. And I sometimes wonder, like, how open and willing some people are to new ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, it seemed like with this Cole thing, it was a lot of feelings.
Yeah.
you know, and it didn't seem to me like, I don't think anybody's like talking down to J. Cole. You know what I mean? Like, like, I don't know where, you know, you got that from, but, you know, she sent the song back, which wasn't even really a diss. She really was questioning, like, this is what you, she said, the world's going up in smoke and, like, you writing about me. Like,
yeah, you got, this is what, got from the situation?
Right. Right. And I appreciated that, even No Name is like a class act anyway. I appreciate that in that she took the time to lift up, like, the trans women who had been killed last week. She made sure to really use that time and attention for something good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, personally, me, I'd rather listen to No Name rap anyway. But, you know.
no disrespect to Cole, but, you know, out of the two of y'all, it's one of y'all I got both of y'all albums. It's one exactly. of y'all I got two albums from, and it ain't J. Cole. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I think in the long run, I hope people learn from this situation and take a learning experience from it.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be open. So, yeah, I guess we can talk a little bit of new music.
Yeah, real quick, before we get into new music, I happened to stumble across this shit yesterday on YouTube. It just, like, popped up in, like, my, you know, like, the algorithm or whatever. And it's called Through the Lens. It's on Def Jam's YouTube channel. And it's a little docuseries that they created that's it's about, like, the legendary pictures that they that, like, you know, that have, like, followed Def Jam through history and shit.
Right.
I'm going to pull up her name. The first, cuz it's like 12 minute episodes. They're not, like, super long or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three of them. It's only the one that's out now. Next week the new one will drop. And then after, then, like, 2 weeks after that, the last one drops. It's going through, like, the 35 years that the label's been around.
Word.
And the first one's about Jeanette Beckman. She's a British journalist who, like, she was she, you know, she came over to, she's from England and came here and was like doing a lot of stuff on the punk scene.
Oh, okay.
And so she was, you know, doing a lot of that stuff. And then she started to like try and she got into, hip hop through Def Jam. First of all, like she took that iconic photo of Slick Rick grabbing his nuts with like the champagne bottle in his hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Classic. So she took that picture. She did the EPMD when they're on the cover of the Wheels, like on the cover of their whips and shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the first like promo photo for LL Cool J where he's holding the boombox.
Mm-hmm.
That she took that.
Wow.
I wish they would have like did a little. It's only like 12 or 13 minutes, so mm-hmm. it's limited. But I wish they would have got a little more. Like it's literally, I think there was more to do,
right?
From it, I think it could have been expanded. And she's like, she was interesting. So I was kind of like, because each one's gonna follow a different photographer,
mm-hmm.
And like, so I kind of was like, I wish they would have did a little more with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was dope, and like it was dope just to see like some of the pictures she had took. So like they were going through a lot of the pictures she took, but they didn't get enough into like that. Like they just kind of showed them, didn't talk about as much, where right. I think they could have. But like I think it's dope. It's cool to look at. It's beautifully done. Like it's beautifully shot. So mm-hmm. I would definitely say check that out, and then like check out this week's coming up, and then the week 2 weeks later. Like I would, it's something. When it's finished in a couple weeks, I'm going to, like, go through the whole thing.
So it's a different photographer that worked with Def Jam?
Yes. It's three different photographers that okay. work with Def Jam each week.
I wonder if, like, Ricky Powell is one
it
of
is.
Them.
It's Ricky yeah. Powell. I think it's the next one.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
But it was cool. I would definitely say check that out. It was dope. And if you're, like, into visuals, like, it's really good.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it tonight.
Yeah, it's cool. So new music, though, this week. Did you check out anything?
Yeah, shout out to the homie Steve. He put me on. I didn't even know Killer Priest had a new record, but he put me on to the new Killer Priest record, Rocket to Nebula.
Uh-huh.
It's really fucking good and weird.
Really?
Yeah. You know, Killer Priest, his flow is kind of like relaxed anyway.
Yeah.
But the production is really weird. It kind of reminds me of Ka, like a lot of his stuff where it's like no drums.
Yeah.
He's okay. like rapping over like, you know, just like music. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's like real trippy and weird. I just listened to it last night and a little bit today, but I'm going to revisit it and like really, really dig deep because I know, you know, Killer Priest, he be dropping like the jewels yeah. and shit in his yeah. bars. But yeah, it's I fuck with it.
Hey, listen, man, when we was coming up, you didn't even need to go to school. You just needed basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Uh-huh.
And nature the threat. And right. that was all the information you needed.
You yeah. was a certified college yeah. professor.
Exactly, dog.
You know what I'm saying? You had tenure. You listened to nature the threat, you know, 10 times that summer. You was basically a college level professor.
Oh, yeah.
On history 100%. And racial studies.
Exactly. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I ain't never go to my first period history class, but I need to because I had that.
Let's play that nature of the threat.
Exactly. Now I'm going to check that out, though. I'm gonna check that out. Did you check out the new Anderson .Paak song?
Yeah, yeah. Lockdown. I listened to it.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
And J-Rock's on it from yes. TDE. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. It's and I said this, shout out to Rhythm. I said this to her. I was like, it's a little weird because like it's a super heavy topic,
right?
But it's a bop, like you know yeah. what I mean? Like,
it's about showing up at protests in LA.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
in the video, they have like they look like they've been shot with like rubber bullets and shit.
Yeah, see, I didn't see the video. She posted dope. It. Yeah, she posted it, and I didn't actually. I like asked her from that, like, oh, is this the new joint? And that's when we got to that conversation. But I was like, yeah, it's kind of like, it's a little weird that it's like, yo, this shit is kind of like, you know.
Yeah, it's like groovy. But
yeah, it's really groovy. It's very vibey. And for it to be like, you know, this is a heavy topic to discuss in that way. But like she said, like, it's like, it's important to have that kind of, that kind of feeling though. You know yeah. what I mean?
He hit the tone And he usually is good for this, like hitting like the right tone for a song. And I think he did it with this. It's not like solemn. I feel like sometimes a lot of the music that is like kind of like branded as like resistance music and film too is really just like, oh, this like all powerful white man or all powerful police department. We're just so beat down and somber. It's like, nah, this shit is like some celebratory. He even says in the song, he's like, oh, basically like, yo, we showed up to the protest and the cops was wilding, but we gonna be back. You know what I mean? We coming back tomorrow. It's like, fuck you. You know what I'm saying?
Not can't
like,
break my spirit.
Yeah, it's not like we're like beat down and you know, whatever. There's just like a lot of that art out too. And I like more stuff like this is like joyful rebellion shit.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, We Gonna Be All Right is that kind of weave. Like, right. You know what I mean? Right. The Kendrick joint. So that definitely fits. Also, you know, I got to throw in some grime. You know what I mean?
Shout out.
Anytime. An artist named Dutch Avelli. Mm-hmm. He's featuring my man, one of the dudes who like I really fuck with, the dude M. Honcho, who's like British Future. They got a joint called Burning. And Dutch Avelli, like I tried to do a little week when I heard this, I was like, oh, I like this shit. So I tried to do like a little like look up on him to see like, you know, past stuff. And he's got like a bunch of singles. I don't think he has a whole album out. He may have like a mixtape over there. I just haven't found it yet.
Work.
He's dope. He like has like his deep like gravelly voice. But it's really vibey joint. It's called Burning. It's on like a mixtape. Like I think it's called like Grime 10 or some shit like that. So it's like I think it's like a 10-year thing of grime or some shit. So I'm gonna do some more research into it because I really didn't get a chance to check out the whole project. But it's not like his thing. It's just like they're featured on this song is featured on it. I'm gonna check that out. But it's a dope record. You know, if you're into that. You know, I'm done trying to convert people. Like, you know what I mean?
If you fuck with it, fuck with it.
Yeah. I mean, because I pretty much got like, when my kids did that shit the one day when I was just like, they were like, yo, they started like, it was an M. Honcho record. They were like, yo, this beat is dope. And as soon as like he came on with the British accent, they were like, all right, listen. She put her earphones in. I was like, yeah, I guess I ain't converting people, man.
Right.
Definitely check that out if you're into it. Like it's a dope record. Other than that, man, I think we can start rapping. You know, you can check us out on all the platforms, on Twitter, Instagram, where Serious Rap Shit. Indy_SRS. That's INDI_SRS on Twitter and Instagram.
Yep.
You're John_Liberator on Twitter and Instagram. Also, if you're listening to this in the Apple Podcast app, you can rate and review us right there. It really, really helps. We really, really need it. We're at like 80, I think. I would love to get to 100 in the next couple weeks. So please take the second, rate and review us. Only if you're giving out 5 stars, though. Otherwise,
save that sucker shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, you can even write a bad review as long as you give us 5 stars. It doesn't really make a difference.
I don't think they're going to do that. If they take it that far, they'll be like, man, I don't like these guys. These guys are fucking anarchists. Da, 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 da. And I don't like that one guy's voice. But then 5 stars, like, you're a psycho if you do that.
But, you know. Also, the Abolished ICE t-shirts are available on Incest Trap and Yoga. So if you want to support, part of those proceeds go to helping families separated at the border, because don't forget, during all this crazy shit, we literally still have babies in cages on the border. So, you know, if you want to fight back against a little bit of that, like I said, part of the proceeds go toward helping family separated at the border. You would also be helping a woman-owned business, a black woman-owned business.
Yes.
And so that's dope at Incest Trap and Yoga. And you know, other than that, you know, we'll be around. We got some shit coming. Expect more videos. I posted a cool little edited video when we talked about the Five Bloods last week. Mm-hmm. We're going to be starting doing some more stuff like that. Oh, follow us, subscribe, and follow us on YouTube at Serious Rap Shit.
Yep.
We have a YouTube channel at Serious Rap Shit. Subscribe there. You know, we've got some more shit coming for y'all. You know, we're excited for the future, man. And we appreciate y'all listening.
Yeah.
Peace. No doubt.
Peace.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.